Watch for the New World Report with Professor Evan Ellis of the U.S. Army War College, the Latin American research professor. And I learned most recently from the Financial Times, this is the pink newspaper from London, of a billionaire Colombian, Jamie Galinsky, looking to make what are called hostile bids on food group Nutresa, for one, and others. He's 64 years old. He has, according to the FT reporting, built an empire of financial and property assets. The interesting part of this is he's challenging the status quo ante, which the professor's already used the word clubby. Professor, in challenging the status quo in Colombia, it looks like Mr. Galinsky is winning a lot of attention. Is that a good thing that he's looking to shake up Colombia's way of dealing with corporate masters?
This is a great story, John, and it's interesting. The company that he's trying to do the hostile takeover for, Nutresa, is a household name for virtually all Colombians, just in terms of food and other products. But to me, it shows several things. So on the one hand, it does testify to the degree to which Colombia has traditionally had a very closed, protected, as you mentioned, clubby business structure. And so the organization that he's essentially currently trying to wrestle Nutresa out of the hands of, Grupo Empresarial Antioqueño, is essentially one example of that. Indeed, if you go back about a decade ago, it was actually, that group that largely defeated an attempt by the Chinese company Sinohydro to get involved in the hydroelectric sector with something called Hidroituango. And so, these are, sophisticated organizations that have been able to even protect themselves against the Chinese. But the interesting thing about Galinsky, and again, this is one of these classic stories that there's no, good or bad. Galinsky is actually backed by Middle Eastern money, something called the Abu Dhabi Royal Group in this particular case. And so it really is the story of a financially well-backed outsider seeing an opportunity to shake things up, coming in and trying to get the better out of a relatively protected closed group. And at the end of the day, I mean, the Chinese lost their round with Empresas Antioqueñas, and so it remains to be seen how this one's going to turn out. But certainly Galinsky has capital.
Now, politics, Evan, we can't be very far from politics. This is an election year for the legislature first in March and the presidency in May. And we've talked at length about this new theme in the New World of left of center, populism, sometimes what approaching command economy, that would contravene Mr. Galinsky's ambitions and that of his backers, because the man who's leading right now, Gustavo Petro, forgive me, but I don't think we're talking about a big-time Wall Street guy here. We're talking about somebody who believes that the economy should obey the presidential palace. Does that make Colombia a mystery as to whether this is a good or bad idea to challenge the clubs?
Well, my sense is right now what Galinsky is doing is really about a particular business opportunity. And I'm sure he has a future Colombian politics factored in. But as you pointed out, Colombia is one of those many examples in Latin America where the stresses of COVID-19 and the longtime frustrations over the inability of governments to resolve pressing problems. And in Colombia, you have any number of problems from the number, the 2 million Venezuelans who have come into the country and the health stresses and the financial stresses of COVID-19 and lingering issues with the FARC and other armed groups. So Colombians are tired, and that sense of frustration has led them to resurrect the person who just barely lost in the last round, which is, again, Gustavo Petro. While Petro is in the running right now, there's some interesting thing going on in the left of center in Colombia, specifically with a group, actually Ingrid Betancourt, who was previously kidnapped by the FARC just yesterday, threw in her hat with this. I think the former mayor of Medellin, who's very popular, is Sergio Fajardo. So it remains to be seen. I tend to suspect that the current right-wing candidate, Ivan Zuliaga, probably will not be strong enough to beat out Petro. But there is a chance, I think, that you could still get a center solution, even though the polls aren't showing it. But we said it here first.
The concern then about Galinsky moving into the market, that looks like a healthy thing, but I'm way outside this, Evan. Is it? Is Galinsky's money, despite the fact that he has, say, sovereign funds out of the Middle East, does this disrupt? Does this improve? He notes that these companies have been underperforming for the last few years.
Well, it's interesting. I mean, you know, clearly Galinsky is making a run at really what has been one of the sophisticated, iconic business mafias in Medellin, which is, you know, Grupo Empresarial Antioqueño. But what remains to be seen is whether shaking up that group will fundamentally change the structure of Colombia's economy and business groups, you know, or will just produce a win by Galinsky. And we see cases where, again, Chinese money coming in, Middle Eastern money coming in, where the Colombia is evolving. But I think the, you know, a win by Galinsky will not transform the structure of the Colombian economy overnight.
Professor Evan Ellis, he is the Latin American research professor at the U.S. Army War College Strategic Studies Institute. And we're headed to a paradise. Evan tells me the Canaima National Park, which is the Venezuelan part of the Amazon, is a wonder and at the same time a high-risk topic right now for exploitation under the Maduro regime. This is the New World Report. I'm John Bash.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.